Every Christmas Eve, my brother would go to bed at 6:30. He would say goodnight right in the middle of Skim Sum. And my mom and I, we'd be looking at him like, oh. And then? The only reason why he's doing it is because he wants Christmas to come sooner. He is 27, my guy. 27.
The combination meal, inspired by seven colors, is something for everyone. Nando's, fire it up.
This is CliffCentral.com.
I love that song, In Particular. Isn't that great? I like your waist in particular. And it's in particular without an R at the end.
Yeah. It's no, it, I mean, you've got to say it the right way. Yeah, otherwise, great. It just doesn't have the same effect.
I do like that. It's DJ, it's Major Lazer, DJ Maporisa, and featuring Nasty C, Ice Prince, Pato Ranking, and Jidenna.
Pato Ranking!
I know, isn't that great? It's terrific.
Love it.
Ben, a lot of people are asking about meowses, so can we have a quick health date on health update, rather, on meowses?
Friday was bloody terrible.
Yeah?
And then, yeah, like Saturday, she kind of came around again. But she had to go into the heavy meds. She had the thermometer up the bum again.
How invasive.
So she had that's the picture you sent us.
Yeah, you sent her.
I was trying to figure it out.
You sent a picture of what looks like custard gone wrong.
Well, it was like a Vaseline with a thermometer in.
Oh, okay.
And that just got into Meowses's.
Oh, shame.
Into Meowses's particulars. And I got a feel for her, like she's not feeling well, and then she's looking at me, and I'm stroking her, and then it's just like the vet's, well, you know, because the vet's always so relaxed, and then you got to hear Meowses scream as this thermometer goes into her. But yeah, she just obviously had some sort of gastro stomach or something or other, but it was bizarre. I put fresh litter into a litter tray, and she spent the entire day just lying in her litter.
Well, you must know how bad things are.
I mean, she looked...
When you're prepared to sleep where you shit.
She looked like the Santa's eyes, which I just put on Instagram.
Oh, did you put it
up? And she like, can't sleep, right? For a whole day, she just stared into, like, nothingness. Her face kind of slanted like a bit of a gonk. It's horrible.
I think that's the worst part of having pets, because you can't actually communicate in words with them. Yeah. So they'll look at you and the expression is just like, dude, you did me wrong.
Yeah.
Which is worse than hearing.
And also, like, the worst thing about pets is they can't tell the doctor what's wrong. So the doctor's got to test everything, which means that you've got to pay everything. But yeah, she was vomiting really badly and she started frothing at the mouth a bit. So I had to rush from here to go home, put her into a box, take her to the vet. And then... It was just a horrible morning. Like seeing your prized loved animal in such distress and just unwell.
That's not nice.
And then it got messy from there. But I'll spare the horrible details.
Right.
But she's better.
Cool. A lot of people asking about that. And by the way, a lot of people are also asking about what we do with our newsletter, because they are tailor-made to your liking, and our newsletters are put together with some help from Touchbase Pro. I've got the best deliverability in South Africa. They get to the inbox. Automation tools to knock your socks off. Transactional emailing to get up to 8 times more people reading. An email designer your mom could use. You could book a demo with them and they could share their screen with you. See for yourself. There's no commitment on your side. Just try it. Click book a demo on TouchBasePro.com. That's TouchBasePro.com. Go and click on book a demo today and tell them cliffcentral.com sent you. Who knows? They might just give you a special deal. All right, let's turn our attention to the news with Mabs. It's time to find out what the hell to make out of the ANC meetings over the weekend, the elective conference. And even though Mabali said she's not going to be paying attention to the politicians, she did break her own rule.
Yeah.
Just so that she could give you the latest and most up-to-date news.
Well, you know, you have to. It's officially the biggest story in the country at the moment.
You've got
to
do what you got to do.
You've got to do what you've got to do.
Right, so let's have the fun with that and everything.
Okay.
Great. All right.
I don't know.
Very important.
It sounds like...
in particular.
Yeah. The editor of the Star newspaper, Matanda Ngube, tweeted, "Jesus Christ of Nazareth."
Okay.
Oh, wow.
It's going to be another long day. Voting still going on. Four lost provinces. Then the manual counting and recounting. Then the auditing. Then the announcement. Will take all day. So don't expect to know anything anytime soon if the editor of the Star is to be believed. So essentially, you know,
all those journalists are going to be there for Christmas.
Yeah, some of them were joking about that, saying that, oh no, their Christmas looks threatened now with the pace at which things are moving at the conference. The ANC succession race is officially a two-horse race now. It is between the two people whom everybody refers to as everything other than their actual names. I don't know if you've noticed that Cyril Ramaphosa is now cereal, as in the stuff you eat in the morning.
Cereal.
That's what people call him. And, I mean, poor Nkosazana Dlamini-Zuma, she just gets an acronym. She's now NDZ.
There are other people like Public Protester who calls her Gogo Moloi.
Oh, okay. The conference was marked by massive delays when they kicked things off over the weekend. But then over the last several hours, it would seem that people have been voting and now all sorts of counting is taking place. Fikile Mbalula tweeted that he's, you know, cast his vote for NDZ. Zizi Kodwa saying that he's Team Cyril. So, yeah, it's just, you know, follow any of their timelines and I suppose you will have sufficient updates with regards to what's happening. But yes, the way forward from here is as follows. The announcement of the party's top six will happen today as soon as all of that auditing and stuff happens. Then that will be followed by closed sessions where the party will discuss various organizational reports emanating from its mid-year policy conference. After that, the nominations for the NEC will be tabled. This will be followed by more organizational reports being discussed. And then only at the end of the conference on the 20th of December will the full NEC be announced.
Mm.
I would not want to be at that conference.
It's going to take a long time.
It's
going
to take a long time.
Long
they're going to be
time.
At it for until the 20th.
Oh, my God. Imagine them looking at each other for that long. Be so sick of it. Two more days of this crap.
Exactly, Gareth.
And it was so weird. Like, you see them all standing there and they, you know, everybody's pretending to get along with everybody, but you can guess that some of them really hate each other.
Oh, yeah, sure. I mean,
that must be so awkward.
There must be all types of conversations.
Did you hear Batabile Dlamini?
Well,
what did she say?
She had a few things to think of.
We want to say, as the Women's League, we are proud of that our campaign has been taken up by women and the structures of the ANC, and that for the first time we had three women nominated as candidates for the position of the president. And secondly, South Africa is a patriarchal country, starting from the nucleus of the society, which is the family. And our understanding and development on the issues of gender and power relations differ. And therefore, we are not going to chaperone people and force them to nominate their candidates. What we are proud of is that we've moved a step further. We did not chicken out as we did in the Northwest when Mamwini was nominated, and we are going to pull through with our candidates. But we are happy also that this side, there is a woman standing as a president.
That was a beer bottle, by the way.
There is a woman
that you just heard rolling around in the background.
Deputy president. That is what gives us a satisfaction.
It's a Zamelek.
Oh.
That's what gives her satisfaction.
Oh, babes.
There's a lot of excitement around the new 1 liter.
Yeah.
Especially from the Batabile Dlamini camp at Nazareth.
So.
Guys, I've actually always had this idea for a TV show.
In particular.
In particular, yes. Do you remember the series Lie to Me?
Yes.
About this guy. What do you term someone like that? But he basically picks up on behavior.
He's like a body language expert.
Yes. Yeah. I've always wanted to have a whole panel show made up of guys like that.
Yeah.
Who just comment on politicians.
Yeah,
and they're
right.
Like, look, she twitched there. No, she used too many airs in there. She's lying.
No, she's got a puzza face.
Because, I mean, when you listen to a statement like that, and it's not a.
She got
a
it from
language
Rihanna.
Thing, but it's like, where
Amarilla,
are you? What are you saying?
Ella. Under my umbrella.
No, you're just stumbling through the lies, or you're trying to make us believe something.
Yeah, you know, with Batabile, she often gets mocked for how she sounds when mm-hmm. she speaks.
I don't think that's very fair.
No,
and so do I, because I drink a lot on the weekend.
No, and it's not about mocking her because, you know, it's not her mother tongue or whatever the case is. It's about what you're saying. What are you exactly saying? But she doesn't even know. She's just
well,
trying to
I gotta tell you.
Wing it and make us believe. At least she looks great in the t-shirt. That new NC t-shirt.
New NC t-shirt. Well,
sleek.
I was going to say, well, it's sleek.
I know.
You know, she's got an enormous bust.
Yeah.
Huge bust.
She must have quite severe back problems, actually.
I mean, I'm not being horrible. Listen, this is not me trying to be a douchebag again. I'm going to show you this picture, Mubs. Look at how much the titties stick out in front.
But that's why I'm saying she probably has major back problems.
You got it. That is incredibly uncomfortable. Her breasts are twice the size of her head.
Can we please, when we get to a certain...
Each breast is twice the size of her head. No, I mean, like, she's got to be tired. No wonder she drinks.
That's great posture, though.
No, she doesn't.
When it gets to a woman of a certain age, can we stop referring to them as titties?
Okay, well, let's just call them, yes, breasts.
That's a very derogatory term, Gareth.
Titties. Sorry.
I mean, what is this? Spring break?
She doesn't work at the Purple Pleasure Palace.
All right, let's just leave it alone.
She's drunk you. There before, though.
She's lying outside in the parking lot with the Zamalex piled up next to her, the empty bottles. She just smashes them into the stormwater drains. All right. So what else is going on over there?
No, that's all I'm prepared to talk about regards to the ANC-NEC.
Okay.
Let's move swiftly along over to the Donald Trump administration.
Oh, no.
Which has now told agencies within the Department of Health and Human Services to avoid using certain words or phrases in official documents being drafted for next year's budget.
Oh, yeah?
Because why? I don't know.
What are these words?
Well, let's go through some of these words, shall we? According to which newspaper is this one here? The Washington Post. According to the Washington Post, they said that one of the agencies, the U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, was given a list of 7 prohibited words or phrases.
Oh, yeah?
Vulnerable.
Mm.
Entitlement.
Mm-hmm.
Diversity.
Hmm.
Transgender.
Why are you avoiding those words?
I ask the Trump administration, please.
Right?
Fetus. What? Mm. Okay. Evidence-based and science-based. These are words that they are no longer allowed to include in their documents being drafted for next year's budget. They just don't want to see those words.
I know what this is.
What
this
is this about?
Like Trump, you know, all those hicks, they don't like the idea of expertise, of science, of they don't want fetus in there because of abortion. They don't want diversity because black people. This is basically an assault on sensible discourse. This is them going, we're just going to pretend these words don't exist. Da da da, I can't hear you, I have EMFs on. It's childish. That's what this is. And they're all kowtowing to Trump.
It's also just very bizarre.
It's stupid. This administration's lost their minds.
And then in more serious news, the UN Security Council are today going to vote on a draft resolution that would reject Donald Trump's decision to recognize Jerusalem as the capital of Israel. This is still an ongoing story.
Yeah, no, that one I don't think they're right on.
Egypt requested the vote yesterday a day after it presented the measure that is likely to be vetoed by the United States, because earlier this month, Trump announced that he would recognize Jerusalem as Israel's capital and move the U.S. embassy there from Tel Aviv. So he sparked a whole lot of protests and strong condemnation. And so today, the UN Security Council are now going to vote on this draft resolution to reject Trump's decision.
Have we got a strong position on this? Because I think, you know, Jerusalem is the capital.
I don't know enough about the history to have a very strong position.
What's the oldest city there, right?
Yeah,
it's... If you don't have a capital, let it be your oldest place and the most important. It's without doubt the most important.
Okay, I've been to this place. It's a fascinating city, town, metropolis of religious bollocks, whatever. And we need to get on with life, really. Just simple.
You're
as
saying
that.
It's not worth getting caught
it's
up.
It's not
in
worth
this.
All the fight. You're in one of the most amazing places in the world historically.
Right.
For cultures come together, and to keep fighting like little bitches.
Yeah.
You're just ruining so much. Like, this place really is quite interesting, and obviously the history is religious and all that kind of crap. But if it just came together. I know this sounds very much like a Band-Aid kind of song.
I'm here with you though, Ben.
But this whole, I'm going to burn stuff because this guy said, just come on, we've got to grow up at some stage. It's like people in this country, they're setting things on fire because their municipality moved like 5 kilometers. So now they're not part of this municipality, they're part of that municipality. Your life isn't actually going to directly change.
But why did Trump make the decision to begin with?
He's bored.
He's showing support for Israel and he's messing with Palestinians. That's what he's doing.
So he's poked the hornet's nest.
Yeah, he's poked the hornet's nest, yeah. So now there's going to be a fight.
So now there are consequences that must be dealt with.
See, it reminds me a bit of Jay-Z's move this past weekend with the
free
education.
Yeah. He's like, okay, I've made a mess. I've left this country in a disastrous state. I've divided the ANC. I'm a complete utter fuck up. Here's some free education. Pay no attention to my record.
And then whoever steps in after him is going to have this thing to deal with. To try and make work.
My favorite are all these people who go, yay, free education. They can't even make... Remember, we've got free basic education there already,
mm-hmm.
and even some secondary level education, like high schools and mm-hmm. so on. And how well does free education work at that level? Not at all is the answer. So you could promise people free anything. And by the way, there's no such thing as free. Someone somewhere is paying for it. And if the taxpayers are paying for it, you're not getting it for free. Someone else is paying for you to get it for free.
Mm-hmm.
That means someone else needs to shell out the cash. And for them to do that, they need to be doing well. In fact, they need to be doing a whole lot better than you, which means there needs to be a huge amount of inequality between you and them. Are you happy to accept that? Good, then you can have your free education. But bear in mind, the people administering that free education are going to be the people who have so far shown themselves to be wholly incapable of administering said free education. So, here's what you're accepting. Let's just be clear about this, everybody. If you're celebrating Jacob Zuma's offer of free education, first of all, you're accepting that you are going to be more unequal to the people at the top of the food chain. You're going to be earning a whole lot less compared to there a whole lot more because they're going to be the ones funding this. So in order for it to work, they need to be making tons of money and you very little. Number two, you're accepting that the people who are going to give you this free education are the people who have so far failed dismally and in every direction to improve the quality and the level of education that is acceptable on the continent of Africa, so much so that they have got us to the point where we are the least numerate, least literate country on the continent of Africa. Mm. Are those the people you want teaching you your free education? Cool, you do? Go for it. Happy for you. You've made the right decision. Let's celebrate. Mediocrity is on its way to you with a big high-speed train. In fact, not even mediocrity. Below average is what you can expect for the rest of your life. That's what you get for your free education. And the alternative, to have to pay for it, well, someone once told me something, and I don't know if it's true or not, but it seems to have borne out fairly well in all the evidence.
Okay.
If you get something for nothing, it's probably worth nothing.
What does that mean in this context?
if you're getting something that is quite valuable and important, like a matric certificate, and you're getting it for nothing in terms of there is no fee on your part. Mm-hmm. There's no one paying for this to be done. In other words, you're paying for a certain quality of product. If you're getting it for nothing, the quality of that product is probably worthless. So your matric certificate will be worthless. But go for it. Free is more important than good. What we want in this country is good education. Good education in every situation would be better than free education. So Jacob Zuma is just throwing, he's giving the peasants bread. This is what Roman emperors used to do. Oh, the peasants are out in the street, they're having a protest again. Just give them some free bread and then the peasants would go home. And if they're not finished with the free bread, if they're still protesting, give them a circus where you feed some Christians to lions. Then they'll go home.
But it's just a fundamental misunderstanding again of how life works. Okay, so you now are technically educating, though poorly, because you've established that, a whole bunch of people. Into what jobs? If there's no economy, then what good is some piss-poor education in the next step anyway?
We already have tertiary education graduates who can't find work.
Exactly.
Mm. So why would we add more of those to the mix and think that we're going to have a solution instead of a problem?
But you do realize you are giving so much justification and thought to a person who might not have thought that way. I'm telling you, he sat there going, I need to leave on that.
No, of course. No, that's
give the
thinking.
People what
Listen,
they want.
One thing we know about Jacob Zuma is Jacob Zuma has never failed. Jacob Zuma.
Staring, that's one.
Yeah.
He's the lead character.
He's the staring.
He's like, okay,
In our country's story over the last 10 years, he's the staring.
Yeah.
Okay, so film director Peter Jackson was in a confessional
Peter
mood.
Peter Jackson.
Yeah, he was in a confessional mood late last week, admitting a couple of interesting things with regards to some of the actresses in Hollywood.
Oh, yeah?
One of them being the fact that he blacklisted actors Ashley Judd and Mira Sorvino. I don't know who that is, I'm sorry. In response to a smear campaign which was orchestrated by Harvey Weinstein.
Wow.
Jackson saying, I recall Miramax telling us they were a nightmare to work with. This is now the two actors. And we should avoid them at all costs.
Hmm.
Jackson said, referencing the production company Weinstein ran with his brother Bob. He added, at the time, we had no reason to question what these guys were telling us. But in hindsight, I realized this was very likely the smear campaign in full swing. I now suspect we were fed false information about both of these talented women. Sorvino and Judd have both claimed they refused Weinstein's pressure to have physical relationships.
Yeah.
And then very quickly said after that they felt iced out of the industry. After rejecting his advances, and now Peter Jackson and another director, Terry Swigoff, now coming forward and saying, yes, it's true, Harvey Weinstein did tell us to avoid certain actresses.
Well, you see, there's the proof.
And that's
scumbags.
That's a sad reality.
So those scumbags, then they would phone up. So, all right, here's what happens. Harvey Weinstein makes a move on Ashley Judd. She says, you're not going to get some of this, you filthy old pervert. So he then goes on behind her back and he goes to all the other people in Hollywood and says, don't hire them. They're very troublesome, these actresses. And he gives them a list.
Yes.
And people did this?
People did this. I mean, Jackson was considering these two for, what was he considering them for? Let me just find this.
It's a couple of big movies.
It's one of the big ones. Yeah. I mean, Peter Jackson has done a whole bunch of big stuff.
Jeez.
So they would be considered for roles, and then Weinstein and his brother would say,
you call him Heinstein?
Or Weinstein and his brother would say, oh no, you don't want those two.
Wavi Heinstein.
They're a nightmare to work with.
Yeah.
Do you think Harvey was honest in that phone call to those directors? Or he made up a lie?
No, of course he would have made a... Why would he tell Peter Jackson that he's been rebuffed?
Because then that was going... I would have put Peter Jackson in the same box as Harvey himself. If you knew the truth and you sort of just went with
it. No, he would have said to him, it's Harvey. I've got to warn you about Ashley Judd. She's a bitch.
Jeez.
And he would have been like, I don't know much about that. But if you say so, then all right, we won't hire her for the next Lord of the Rings. I was going to make her a dwarf, but now I'll have to find someone ugly.
It actually was, in fact, for the Lord of the Rings series. Yeah.
There we go. Jeez, that's a big one to miss out on, huh?
Yeah, shame.
Poor old Ashley Judd. See what you get for speaking out?
But who would she have been in the Lord of the Rings? Would she have been an elf?
Yeah, probably. She's quite hot.
Because there were very, very few females in the Lord of the Rings.
Yeah. It's mostly these orcs and
hobbits.
Trolls and hobbits. And yeah.
Homosexual hobbits and orcs.
Oh. Yeah. Oh. Oh, were they homosexuals? What did you think?
How do you know? Just throwing it out there.
I mean,
what? It's obvious? Yeah. Use your words here, Ben.
Yeah.
Okay. There we go. Moving on.
good old straightforward homophobia. That was
like, I really wanted to see where he was going with this.
There's nothing wrong with it.
Try to make sense. Oh no! Don't now detract. There's nothing wrong with it. Some of my best friends are gay.
I didn't think it was. It ruined the storyline at all. But I mean,
sure.
It was just
Ben. Just stop now.
I just thought it was quite progressive to have so many boys running around the forest looking for a ring and. It was a different slant in the story that I thought was going to be part of it. That's all.
And there was that scene right at the end with all jumping on the bed. Yeah, that's a little bit odd.
Look, I mean...
Oh, so now being gay is odd?
No.
What adjective did you have
hobbits,
to choose?
Hobbits jumping on the bed is odd.
Thank you.
Put it this way.
After you've been watching a movie with people being killed and heads being cut off and... orcs attacking, and then suddenly, right at the end of the movie, you got like a whole bunch of hobbits, these little people with very hairy feet jumping on a bed.
Look, put it this way, if Wham was put into Lord of the Rings soundtrack, yeah, wouldn't have batted an eyelid.
Okay, Huena, I'm actually done with you. I can't.
Fair enough.
I'm done.
Back to Mubs.
Okay. this is a moment to be reminded of just how old you are. You know when you hear a song and then you realize that it's more than a decade old, and then it's just a reminder of, oh my goodness, Father Time, tick-tocking away. So we are getting ready to wrap up 2017, and in 2018, here is a list of songs that are going to be exactly 10 years old come next week. Sorry, come 2 weeks' time.
How old is this, Ben?
Timeless, Gareth. There's no age in this.
Do we know how old this song is?
We'll have to ask Google right now.
Oh, who's the homophobe now, Sia?
Right off, Benjamin. Yeah. Fuck right off.
Jesus, do you care so many guys with that forked tongue of yours?
Oh, the guys that you look down on, because what? That's quite odd.
I've only ever been pro-gay on this show.
Okay. Whenever you have to defend yourself, that just means...
Well, look who's putting me in the corner here, baby. It's you.
Hey. Now you're using great. Little...
1984 is like, when it was released.
What?
1984.
Okay, that is... Oh, that is... That is 30... What? 30 what? 30 what?
Oh, 33 years old.
33 years old.
33 really? Years old, that song.
That means Thriller is 34 years old.
Yes.
Yeah. Good song.
Jeez.
All right, enough Wham.
These songs are now 10 years old.
10 years. This is going to frighten me. I can just feel it.
Do you remember Estelle's American Boy with Kanye West? Guys, what happened to Estelle?
She just disappeared.
Yeah. She just kind of came in... Hung around for 15 minutes and then left the building.
Oh, man.
Maybe she made enough money out of that one song to just disappear, right?
Well, she is
signed under Kanye, which might explain
Wasn't
things.
John Legend like somewhere involved in that song as well?
Yeah, good,
he was, right?
Good music, so that's the label. Sound,
get down.
In the world right now, just touched down in London town. Bet they give me a pound.
Tell them put the money in my hand right now. Got a promoter, we need more seats. I wish Kanye was still singing. Since Kanye became a full-time Kardashian woman, he's really...
no creativity in that stable.
His influence in the music industry is waned. All right, so this one's 10 years old.
10 years old, as is Katy Perry's I Kissed a Girl and
no.
I Liked It.
Yes.
No way.
It was released in 2008.
No.
So yes. Katy Perry has had a career for less than 10 years because I Kissed a Girl was like her debut... song.
It was. It was
big
the first
mainstream.
Remember how much
hits.
Trouble she was in for it? Because in those days, you couldn't kiss a girl if you were a girl.
Well,
What did we learn about
cherry chapstick?
What is it again?
A swollen, or rather red and raw female.
Yeah. Uh-huh. We're listening.
That female front part.
The front part.
It's the vagina, whatever. The vaginal lips.
Those are a lot of words here, hasn't you?
I learned from Dr. Searle to use the proper words for our parts.
All right.
Thank you.
Another 10-year-old song. What else, Mabs?
All right. Then we've got Pink. So what?
They're still playing that everywhere. You know?
Where's everywhere, though?
I don't know. If you hear it all the time, this song.
That's
shops
a good karaoke bar option.
Oh, yes. Very karaoke. Yeah.
This is after, like, her separation with her husband. And before the contract.
All right. I like this song.
Yeah.
It's a happy song. Let's go to the chorus. You ready?
Hey. I'm gonna get in trouble. I'm gonna start a fight.
Yeah, you're going to like this one. The next song is the one that made it onto every, or well, almost every bride's throwing of the bouquet.
Is it Beyonce?
Which song?
Single Ladies?
Yes,
I thought so.
10 years in 2018 is how
that
old that song.
That iconic costume.
Yeah. Really?
The dance moves. The single ladies who danced along while Beyonce got married in the same year.
And all those lyrics, just thousands and thousands of words. It's really just all the single ladies, all the single ladies, all the single ladies, all the single ladies, right? It was a damn good music video, I'll tell you that much.
Iconic. Really, not even, like, I'm not even being biased to it, but it is iconic. It's just black and white, three girls dancing.
Can you still do the moves?
Does Dolly Parton still sleep on her back? What sort of question is that?
All right, next.
All right, then we've got Usher's Love in This Club.
Oh, wow.
I want to make love in this club.
Hey.
Now, when he did that, did he have the syphilis already at that stage?
It's herpes. Okay.
Sorry.
Get it right.
Sorry.
Get your STIs right.
Sorry.
And remember, I remember I used to make fun of the song because, like, there's a part where he's singing on the couch, on the corner, and then we would just make ridiculous jokes like on the
window,
ironing board,
to the walls, to the sweat drips off my ball,
on the roof.
Much of a commitment. I don't want to make love in the club. The club is dirty, actually.
Yeah, no.
It's love in the club.
And Carrie Hilson was in this music video, and she's
so
bad.
Another one who's disappeared. And I promise that I'm gonna keep it coming all night long.
Still good. It's still good. That I could listen to.
All right, last two. We've got Coldplay's Viva La Vida.
Oh, I still like that song. Yeah,
that's a good song.
Turning 10 next year.
Wow, that's very cool. That stood the test of time, actually, quite nicely.
I still don't know the lyrics to that song.
Yeah, I still don't know what the Roman cavalry
about?
Choir is singing. I don't get it.
What is it?
I don't know. At one point, I thought it was about Jesus. Then
I think Gwyneth wrote this one.
The lyrics, definitely.
Gwyneth's vagina wrote this song.
Ew. Rise when I gave the word. Now in the morning I sleep.
We got to get to Rich. One more song, you said.
Yes, lastly, Gareth, the script, The Man Who Can't Be Saved.
The Man Who Can't Be Moved.
Sorry, The Man Who Can't Be Moved. My bad.
I don't know if I really care about this one. Oh, no. Like, I think the world would have been as good if this had never been written.
Okay. Maybe I'll be famous.
You really are the man that can't be moved.
Picture in my this was a big song.
It's like a big song when you make a home video about your child growing up.
No, yes. I mean,
what this song was really made for.
Yeah.
It's a very white thing to do.
It's a very white thing, huh?
Sure, okay.
Ben is casting aspersions on everyone.
We are moving very swiftly from the gays.
I've said nothing about women today.
To race.
Oh, Ben.
Who are you going to go for next? All right, very nice. Those are songs that are 10 years old already. Unbelievable.
Man.
Don't you feel ancient, Sia?
No, I do. No, but songs are 20 years old and they're from 1997. Let that sink in for a second.
I know. 20 years old from 97. 97 was a horrible year for music, so.
Well, Spice Girls were big.
The 90s generally.
Oh, sorry.
There you go.
Exactly. Horrible year for music.
It was all downhill from Wham, so, I mean, this is just.
ABBA. Okay.
Obviously, it all went kind of downhill from ABBA, but there was still some decent stuff after ABBA.
All right, let's get to Rich. Good morning, Mr. Mulholland. How are you?
I'm good. How are you doing?
Excellent. Thank you. I'm glad that you could join us the week before Christmas. Are you in the Christmas spirit? Do you do anything with your family?
I am indeed. I'm getting ready. We're going on a bit of a surprise holiday with the kids, so I'm not going to talk about it now. But I'm very excited. So it's hopefully going to be super rad.
Cool, man.
Listen, before I start, see ya. Does Dolly Parton sleep on her back? That is pure gold. That is amazing.
Yeah, the Dolly Parton reference is quite an unexpected one from Sia. I mean, of all the people here to have remembered anything about Dolly Parton, I least expected it from him.
It's just obvious, though, Rich, isn't it not?
Absolutely. And I also, I like that we're not calling them titties.
No.
On Dolly Parton, they have to be breasts.
Yes.
Yeah. Although jubblies does feel like it could work as well. Oh. But, you know...
Butterbee Litlamine and her jubblies.
Oh, I instantly have visuals there.
Jubblies is such a nice word. It's so friendly.
Yeah, it is. You can't get cross with someone if they refer to jubblies. All right, so what's on your mind this morning, the week before Christmas?
All right, so it's because it's my last show of the year. What's on my mind, and it's actually something that has been on my mind. So this is something I've been thinking about a lot. And I'd already kind of plotted this system out. And then I thought, well, in fact, this would be a great idea to talk about on the show. And it's about my New Year's resolution for next year, because I've decided to take it quite seriously this year. So I started kind of looking into a bit of the history about New Year's resolutions. It turns out the Babylonians made promises to gods at the start of each year and would give back objects and stuff to pay their debts. The Romans would make promises to the god Janus. Mm-hmm. And that's who January is named after. And like the knights would take the peacock vow, which would reaffirm their commitment to chivalry, all of these things. Like, so people have followed this for ages. The problem is, for the most part, nobody sticks to them. So I started looking into see why they fail. And I found that this psychology professor, Peter Herman, and his colleagues identified what they called false hope syndrome, which means the resolution is significantly unrealistic and out of alignment with the people's internal views of themselves. And the principle reflects out of making like a positive affirmation. And when you make these affirmations about yourself that you don't really believe, you're very likely to fail.
Mm-hmm.
And actually damage your self-esteem. The other problem is that people make these resolutions, and then they're really, really good for maybe the first month or the first few weeks. And then they miss one day. And then the feeling is, it's almost as if you're trying to see one of those challenges where you're trying to see how long you can hold the monkey bars. And if you let go, well, then the challenge is finished. Whereas what you're kind of supposed to do is jump up and catch the monkey bars again and carry on, because it turns out a year is not, you know, just 2 weeks. It's a whole long thing. So I looked into why it was, and they say there's a few reasons why people mess this up. The first is obviously that they're unrealistic. The second is that they, if they fall off, they think, I've got permission now to stop. And the third is that they're not specific enough. Like they don't have enough specificity. They might say, I want to lose weight, but they won't say, I want to lose X by X. And in fact, if they do, X might be an unrealistic amount of weight to lose by that period.
Right.
So I have an idea for next year, and I want to propose the Mulhooligan method as an alternative, right? So I want to give you guys another way of thinking about New Year's resolutions, and I want to challenge all of you guys in the studio to try and follow this way next year.
Does this follow on? Does this follow on from your to-don't list of last week? Because I really like that as well.
Right, it kind of does. And in fact, when I was sitting thinking about the to-don't list idea, I already knew that I wanted to do this one for the last show, and so it was a kind of a follow-up about the to-don't do this. And then there's a few other little things. And in fact, it's a follow-up of something that I did a show on. When you were in a state, so you wouldn't have heard it, and I spoke about this principle about a thing that I've done it every day, that I call a to-do better list. Mm-hmm. So every single morning, instead of having a to-do list, I have a to-do better list. And all I do is I reflect on the day before, and I think of three things that I wish I'd done better.
Okay.
So if I was a bit shitty to Jazz for something, I think, I could have handled that better. I could have been a better dad. I should have put down my book when I was speaking to my kid, or whatever the case may be. And I make a note of these little things. And what happens is I find myself in situations during the day where I'm doing something and I think, oh, I bet you I'll log this in my to-do better list tomorrow. And then I think, well, don't be a doist. Just stop doing it. And then I'm actually a better person.
Right.
So I want to give one idea that I want people to kind of take onto this thinking. I would love everybody to do a to-do better list, but here's where it is. So the first thing is I want people to decide on three very specific goals that they would like to achieve. Now, they could do more, but basically they must all be different. So if one is lose weight and the one is stop smoking, another one might be spend more time with family or some kind of big goal for the end of the year.
Right.
And then to put a specific victory condition. So it must be measurable. If at the end of the year you achieve this, you have won. If you haven't, you failed.
Okay.
Right. So just one thing is I think at least one of these goals should affect somebody else. Because it's so easy to quit on, I've not lost weight. Well, it's okay. It only affects me. There must be something around other people that are important to you. So it's not that easy to bail. Then what I want you to do is not make a New Year's resolution. But your New Year's resolution is to follow the system. So every morning when you wake up, and in my case, right after I do my to-do better list and my to-don't list, I'm going to add my new day's resolution. Right? So that day, all I'm saying is in this day specifically, I want to try swear less. In this day specifically, I want to try and make sure I don't eat any processed sugar. In this day specifically, whatever it may be, I want to focus on getting three columns written or whatever the case may be. Mm-hmm. And my victory condition is a victory condition for the day. And so every morning I'm going to wake up and say, my new day's resolution is today to do this. Then what I want to do is on a Sunday, I'm going to go back and see how many check marks did I give myself. And if I feel that if I've given myself four successes out of the 7 days, mm-hmm. then I'm going to count my week as a win. And then at the end of the month, I'm going to look at my weeks. And if I've managed to get 3 weeks out of the four as wins, well, then I'm going to count my month as a win.
Yes.
And at the end of the year, if I get 7 months where those have been successful, then I'm going to say that I've kicked 2018 in the ass.
Beautiful.
And at the same time, I'll have made some great habits. But instead of it being one big system that I have to hold for the whole year, I feel like I want to break it down into small little manageable chunks. And I want to give myself, I want to build some degree of failure into the process so I can't just leave just because I missed the day. So that's my challenge for you guys. Any of you in at all? Any of you willing to give it a bash?
Yeah.
Does this mean, though, that we have to have 365 different challenges?
It means that every single day when you wake up in the morning, as you're driving to the studio, you think of today, if I achieve this, my day has been a success. And at the end of the night, when you're lying down, when you're going to bed, say, did I make that one thing that I wanted to focus on today? And if it's yes, you say, cool.
Can you repeat these things? Let's say the swearing one, for example. I think that's quite an easy one to be able to do, but you've got to do it quite regularly. So at least once a month for one day of every month, I'm going to put the swearing in as one of the reasons I want to do that particular task.
Right. So I don't mind swearing. I mind if I can't stop it.
Yes.
So I want to make sure that I'm always perfectly able to have a conversation with somebody
where
I don't feel the need to use lazy adjectives like, mm-hmm. Fuck him.
Yeah.
But if I do want to drop it in on occasion for impact, it must be by choice.
Yes.
I feel that I've almost sometimes lost my ability. And that's why, in fact, on the show recently, I've tried my best not to to use these things simply mm-hmm. because you've kind of almost given me a bit of permission and you allow your guests a bit of leeway.
Right.
I almost felt that I took that too much to heart, and I thought, oh, I can do better than that.
Right.
You know, I can, and so I've been trying mindfully to not be that bad.
But I mean, that's the kind of task that you could repeat month by month, right?
Oh, absolutely. I think almost entirely, if you look at a 30-day period, you'll probably end up repeating almost every one. Like once you've done January, uh-huh. you probably don't need to think of a single thing. And in fact, you probably shouldn't have to because yeah. if you, again, the key is that these things should always be somewhat appropriate to the three goals you gave yourself in the first place.
Right.
So you are tying them back to the victory condition you have for the whole year. So of course you're going to try and make them work in that regard.
I like this very much. This is very, very good. Everybody else, are you in? Mubs?
Yeah.
You in? Ben?
Yep.
Sia?
I like it.
All right. Amanda, give me a thumbs up. Amanda's in too. All right. So look what you've done. You've started a whole thing.
Awesome, guys. Listen, all thanks right. so much for a fantastic year. I hope Thank you all you, have dude. A really wonderful break and some great time off.
Well, this is a highlight of most people's week. Mondays are tough, and you've helped to make Mondays a little bit more inspiring and interesting for us, and a lot of the time to make us think about stuff that possibly we've felt before but never articulated very well. So, Rich, to another year of the reality check and to an excellent holiday for you and your family.
Thanks so much, guys. Right, take dude. It easy. Bye-bye. Thanks.
There we go. Yay. Rich Mulholland, everybody. Mulhooligan's list of things to do. So now you know what to do for the new year. Don't put pressure on yourself and say, these are my hairy, audacious goals for 2018. Rather, just choose little surmountable ones that you can easily win.
But it's also the baby steps that lead to
small victories,
the bigger, major changes.
Small victories.
As well.
For some people, just keeping yourself clean and tidy is enough of a task. Really, that's for a lot of people.
Start by making your bed.
Right. It's the first thing you need to do. We must get Jordan Peterson to tell us about that next year, too. I think Rich will like what he has to say. All right. Coming up in the next little while, I'm very, very pleased. I sat down with actor Aubrey Puwe during the course of last week, and we talked about the acting profession, his own life, where he is, what he's up to at the moment. He's a very successful guy. He's up in that hallowed sort of area of the entertainment industry where they don't have to worry about work or auditions. Aubrey gets plenty of offers, and he's one of South Africa's foremost and most impressive actors. So take a listen to that. That's coming up next. I hope you're ready for a good week. We'll be here until Friday, and then it's time for a little break. Not just for us, but for everybody. All right. Oh, the Unnews. Ben looking at me like he's horrified.
He is horrified.
I only just got it now. No. What?
What?
What did you say?
Yeah.
What?
Just think about dementia, Gareth. It sneaks up on you.
Oh, now I've got dementia. All right, great.
Oh, so now you're also anti-Gareth.
He's observant. I mean, why have you got to be told every day to do something that every day?
Anti-white man.
And the only thing I want you to do today is go and talk to Miazes. At least she won't be offended by you. You're in a very, very politically incorrect space at the moment, Ben. Piss off everybody. In fact, go to the ANC conference at Nazareth. Then
they'll
you can do some real work.
Appreciate you there.
No, I've had a heavy week of drinking already.
The ANC have had an awesome weekend at their elective conference. The votes have been submitted. The verdict is in. The Glenfiddich 21-year-old Grand Reserve Rum Cask Finnish Single Malt was the whiskey of the conference. Did you know that? Give them a round of applause. Many believed Johnny Blue would keep the top spot, but some late lobbying from some party heavyweights have resulted in the favorite being toppled. Bob Mugabe has been allowed to keep his limo, but will relinquish his many properties and even most of his tailored suits. Grace Mugabe's privileges have also been reviewed. She's been told she can no longer physically abuse cabinet ministers, but insists on keeping all of her bodyguards. This has not gone down well, as there are so high in number, these bodyguards, that they're capable of a coup of their own. Alistair Coetzee has managed to go unfired by Saru, who have now pushed his review into January. He won't be so lucky with Santa Claus, though. Santa knows who's been naughty and nice, and judges on this prior to the 25th of December without fail. Coetzee said he wasn't feeling too optimistic about the quality of his gift from Santa, but is ready to take positives from whatever gets delivered. We'll see you tomorrow.
This is CliffCentral.com.